We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. And I want you to know this is the day that the Lord has made. Our responsibility, our privilege is to rejoice and be glad in it. And so thank you for tuning in. This is Bob Arthurs. You are listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. We want to say thank you to the saints at Merit Assembly of God who helped make this ministry possible. And also today, the sponsor that we'd like to for you to remember is Wyrick Air Heat and Electrical, 632-9538, 632-9538. If you're anywhere in the county, from the south to the north, if you'll call them, they can take care of your air conditioning, your heating, or your electrical needs. And was having a conversation with Dennis here recently and said that one of the areas that they have that they do a lot of work in is in the area of manufactured homes. And, you know, that was what we were talking about, prefabricated buildings the other day on one of the broadcasts. And that is one of the areas that they do a lot of work in. And so if you are listening and you have a manufactured home and need somebody to work on your air conditioning, your heating, or your electrical, give them a call. Carla can be reached at 632-9538, 632-9538. I want to take you this morning to Ephesians, the second chapter, And it says, "In you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others." Wow, what a powerful passage of scripture. Let me read verse 4 because I just can't pass it up. "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Praise God. What a wonderful passage of scripture. That's Ephesians chapter 2. In our study on skyscrapers here, by the way, I do want to invite you out to our vintage service today at 11 a.m. If you're available, we would love to have you join us in worship, and we'll be preaching the word, praying for miracles to take place. There are plenty of seats available, shall we say, for our 11 a.m. service. Not a whole lot of churches have 11 a.m. services on Wednesday, but you know, come out and join us. We're going to be singing some older songs and preaching the word and praying for miracles. So we encourage you to come out and join us as we preach our way through the book of Isaiah. One of the things that I was going to talk about today is that when they began to build skyscrapers taller and taller, what they found was that they were working in a different sort of atmosphere, in that the taller that they went, the more violent the winds came. In fact, the wind would actually, the taller that they went, could actually create little mini tornadoes as it was encountering certain building shapes, and it would literally try and suck over the skyscrapers. It would literally try and cause them to collapse sideways upon other buildings. And so they realized that the wind wasn't changing. What needed to change was the shape of the structure. They had to make it to where the wind would not be able to destroy it, but it would be able to rise up even in a hostile environment, shall we say, and it would still be a place that was habitable for people. And so what they discovered was that they needed to form the building aerodynamically in order to survive this hostile environment. Now, when you think about that, I want you to think about what we just read in chapter 2, verse number 1. And it said, "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." You and I are ambassadors of God. We live in enemy territory. We live in an atmosphere where the spirit of the air, the power of the air, the spirit is currently working in people who are living in disobedience to the word of God. You know, and later on in the New Testament, it says they think it is actually strange that you and I do not plunge in and participate with them in some of the things that they do. So I want to ask you today, Are you being swayed by the prince of the power of the air, which is, by the way, Satan, or are you being moved by the spirit of the living God? Because not every spirit that operates in this realm is a godly spirit. In fact, I did a teaching at our church several years ago, and it was that there are three different spirits that work in the spiritual realm. The first spirit that works is the spirit of God, and we always want to do what the spirit of God says. God, he will never lead you into temptation. He's got his hands on you. The spirit of God leads you in accordance with the truth. You always want to do what the spirit of God says. The Bible says, "They that worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth." We want to cooperate with the spirit of the living God. The second is what we're talking about here. And that is the prince of the power of the air. Satan operates in the spiritual realm as well, and we don't want to cooperate with him. We don't want to do the things that he says. He's a liar and the father of it. He's not leading us to good. He's leading us into a trap. He's leading us to destruction, where God wants to lead us to edification. He wants to lead us to death, where God wants to lead us to life. You don't want to cooperate, and yet that is the spirit that is currently at work. You said, "Well, those are two. What's the third?" Well, the scripture says this, that there was a time when people were prophesying, and he said, and they prophesied out of their own spirits. And this is the most dangerous spirit that is at work in the spiritual realm, not because it's more lethal than demonic spirits, but because it is so subtle that a lot of times, especially in Christians, we tend to hear what our spirit is saying, and because it's exactly what we want to hear, we think that it is God speaking to us, and then we are bewildered when things don't work out the way that God has said. By the way, this truth may be one of the most important things that I've ever shared on this radio program, and I'm not sharing it to you from a theoretical experience. I'm sharing it with you from a personal, practical School of Hard Knocks lesson, where there was something that I thought was the Spirit of God. Unfortunately, I found out later it didn't line up with the Word of God. And so I went from discouragement, saying, "God, I thought, I just knew that that's what you wanted me to do." and it turned out disastrous. What is up with that? And then I was shown a principle in the Word of God and said, okay, so that wasn't the Spirit of God. Well, I'm not going to be able to blame that on the devil. What was going on was there was something in my heart that was, it sounded so enticing. It had to be God, right? Except for it wasn't. And God said, these people are not prophesying. They may be prophesying in my name, but I didn't put those words in their mouth. Instead, they are prophesying out of their own spirit. Right now, there may be people who are listening, and you've got some fallen structures in your past. You've got some damaged areas of your life, and you're sitting there and you're scratching your head and say, but God, I was so sure that that was you. I don't know what happened. I want to ask you, go back and look at it and see if there wasn't something inside of you that's really what the longing of your heart was, and you were trying to get God to say yes to your plan instead of you saying yes to his plan. Again, I'm not here preaching condemnation. I'm just here sharing from my own personal experience and saying, you know what? God has a better plan. And so a lot of times we like to blame God for things that weren't God's fault. They were my fault, or they were your fault. And so I want you to know that you do have a very real enemy, though. In Luke chapter 22, verse number 31, Jesus told Peter, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to sift you like wheat, but after you've returned, strengthen your brethren. One other thing he said in there, but I've prayed for you. I want you to know that even though you and I, as children of God, we are ambassadors for Christ, but we are ambassadors in hostile territory where there the spirit that is working in the children of disobedience is currently working, and nothing helps his task more than seeing somebody with a reputation for being profound in the kingdom of God become collateral damage. I ask you, how many high profile names have we seen come crashing down to earth? And here's the sad part about is there are some people who will never accept Jesus because of the failure that they see in other people's lives. I tell you what I'm not after here on this radio program. I'm not after fame. You know why? The price tag for worldly fame is too high for me. I don't want worldly fame at the price of my wife. I don't want worldly fame at the cost of my relationship with my children and future grandchildren, whenever those should come. They're nowhere near on the horizon right now, but by faith they're coming one day. And I don't want fame, worldly fame, at the expense of embarrassing my Savior and causing people to use me as an excuse for why they don't want to have anything to do with Jesus. Those price tags are too high. Maybe one time I will share with you biblical fame and how important that is, you know, because I am famous. I'm famous to God, and that's who I want to be famous for. And so this spirit is working, and it says, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Okay? And so Paul writes here to the Ephesians, and he says, we used to all operate like that. We used to all be susceptible to the prince of the power of the air, his spirit now working in the sons of disobedience. I was there, you were there, and when we were there, we fulfilled the lusts of the flesh. We fulfilled the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by very nature were children of wrath. In other words, we were being tossed about, to and fro by every wind of doctrine that came away. Every time the winds of adversity blew, it caused us to sway. And I have written down here, I don't know if you've ever been to St. Louis or to Chicago. When I was in Chicago, I went up to the top of the Sears Tower. And what was really kind of nerve-wracking was you could look down and you could see the shadow of the building as it swayed. Now, they actually have a measurement as to how much that building sways. In the St. Louis Arch, it's even more noticeable. You can almost feel that one as it's swaying a little bit. But they're still pretty impressive structures that are going up there. And you and I, we can look back at our situation and say, you know what? By very nature, before Jesus Christ, every time the winds of adversity blew, it shook me, it rocked me, it moved me. All he would have to do is the devil would send a little bit of wind of adversity or something. You know, maybe I was going in a direction and he would send a wind of propulsion that he would get me further away from God than I've been before. But I want you to know today that no matter how far the enemy has carried you, no matter how beat down you may feel by him, Jesus' arm has not shrunk, and it's still able, it's still powerful enough, it is still long enough to reach you in your deepest pit, to pull you out and establish you and take you and build you up as a trophy of his grace. As I'm sitting here, I'm just reminded of something. I haven't ever thought of this in this context before, but do you realize that where the oxen stumbled and where Uzzah reached out his hand and was struck down for his irreverence towards the tabernacle of God or the Ark of the Covenant, do you know that was the very spot? It was a place of heartbreak for David, but it ended up being the very place that God said, that's the place where I'm going to build. It may have been a place of heartache, but that's where I'm going to build my temple. God took a very solemn place, a place of heartbreak, and he built his temple there that he came and flooded with the Shekinah glory. I challenge you today, open up your heart today and allow God, if there is an area of your life where the enemy has been successful, he's brought heartbreak or disappointment or discouragement or depression, allow God to build you up in that place to where even that very place of heartache is redeemed by God, and he causes you to rise up as a pillar of grace in that spot. Verse number 4 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved," and get this, "and raised up together." Okay? Raised up together. Look at what it says. "Made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together." Who is that us up? That us up is you and Jesus and me and Jesus and you and me with Jesus. That's what, and so at that point in time where maybe your whole world came crashing down, and now God has come in because he's rich in mercy. He has great love for you, and he's demonstrated that love for you. And now he's looking to raise you up and raise me up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound like a glorious, glorious goal? Being raised up together. You know, there's a saying that says leadership is lonely. And I don't believe that has to be the case at all. I believe that it is not about one person rising up above another one, but instead us working together in Christ, both being shaped by him to where instead of the forces of darkness overpowering us, that he molds us and shapes us to where those things that used to would have destroyed us, now they have no effect upon us at all. One of the passages that people quote is that God will not give me anything beyond that which I'm able to bear, but will with every temptation make a way of escape. And there's a lot of people, my take on that is that there are a lot of people who believe that, you know, if they're in a place of temptation, that all of a sudden that God's going to rip open the roof above the place. He's going to reach down by his mighty hand, grab you by the locks of your hair, and lift you up and divinely transport you to another place. And I want you to know that's possible. Except for, I believe the reality of temptation is this. Temptation is not an external thing. Temptation is a spiritual flaw that shows up on my spiritual cardiogram. It shows up as a heart defect in my life. And so there's something inside of me that temptation appeals to, or it wouldn't be appealing to me. And the way that Jesus makes a way of escape is he comes, and instead of ripping the roof off the building, instead he opens the door to my heart and he says, you've got a defective area there and I can take care of that. Would you allow me to take care of that to where that temptation no longer has any bearing on you? You see, in this studio where I'm sitting right now, you could fill it from floor to roof with all sorts of illegal drugs and all of that, and not any of that would have any appeal to me, because there is not anything in my makeup that has any longing for what those things can do for me. So that is not a temptation for me. You could do the same thing with alcohol. You could there's nothing inside of me. I've seen way too many lives destroyed and devastated. I've seen marriages ruined. I've seen people's health ruined. I've seen people die because of the ravages of alcohol. There's nothing inside of me that is any temptation to that. There, you could fill this room with millions of dollars worth of tobacco products, and nothing in that would appeal to me, because I have personally seen the ravages that something like that could do. Am I saying that I'm without sin? No, what I am saying is that God has removed those areas of temptation from my life, and he can do the same for you. And with me, he has done that. And listen, when the Holy Spirit puts his finger, his supernatural finger on an area of my life, and he says, that's an area of temptation, and we are going to work on that to where your heart is not enticed by that stuff. I have a response, and that is this: yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Build me up. Make me an edifice that we can sit together. We can have fellowship in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listen, don't miss what God has in store for you for the world. Listen to what it says, that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Right now, I just pray that a spiritual mind renewal takes place in your life and my life. There are far too many people who have a shack mentality when Christ has designed you to be a showcase of his exceeding riches in glory. You see, a lot of times we think in practical terms. By some estimates, the amount of money that David accumulated for the construction of Solomon's temple, it went into the billions of dollars. Billions. For a building that really wasn't that substantial in size. It wasn't too much larger, the temple itself, too much larger than what our sanctuary is, and it's only 90 by 45. Our roof is 100 by 50. The temple, and can you imagine what it would be like if I went to the church board and said, you know what, we're going to build a church here on this spot, and the budget for this building is going to be $1 billion. I can tell you that they would have a sort of reaction to that, and that is no, that's not going to happen. Would it be birthed in my heart to build that? But you see, that Solomon's temple wasn't built for man. It was built to house the Ark of the Covenant and the presence, the Shekinah glory of God. And you're not going to be able to build a building lavish enough for him. And so here in this verse, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, of his empowerment, of his giving you things that you do not deserve. Today, I want to reveal to you on this Wednesday that God has an inexhaustible amount of resources to build you up as a testimony of his lavish grace, of his extraordinary love. Today, he's not looking for a storage shed. He is looking for a mansion, a spiritual mansion in your life and my life that he can demonstrate his grace. For by grace you have been saved, verse 8, through faith, that not of yourselves, that is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I want you to know that God is not operating in your life on the fly. When I first came to the church, I remember praying a prayer, and it was kind of one of these things. Our first three Sundays, we went 10, 9, 8, and four of those in each service was my family, and I said, you know, that meant that there was 6, 5, 4 of people who were not related to me. And so I remember walking out one of those days and I said, God, 4 more weeks and it's just me and my wife and the two kids, and I don't know how long they'll stick around. And I prayed, I said, God, I feel like I have been thrown into the cockpit of a plane that is in a nosedive, and I'm pulling levers, but I don't really know how to get us out of this tailspin. I want you to know that God knows what he's doing. He gave me a plan that day. It wasn't the plan I would have come up with, but it was a different plan. It was his plan. And so that's been the blueprint we've been operating. He's not operating in your life that way. He's got a designed plan for you that he's had in his heart before he ever formed the world. God has his eye on you. He's got a plan and a purpose for you. Let's work together with him to see that plan become a reality. You are a lavish expression of God's tremendous grace. Father, I pray today on this Wednesday that the presence of the living God would flood the heart of every man, woman, and young person listening to this broadcast today. And I pray, God, that each one of us, myself included, would be overwhelmed with the amazing grace that you have demonstrated in transforming us from children of disobedience into reflections of your glory. God, anybody going through a spiritual attack right now, bring them victory in Jesus' name. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."